Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Podcast while driving. I'm just going to cover sort of how you get long-term projects off the ground when there's sort of no positive environment to take them up. This is not a violin playing. This is the fact that you do a lot of work, identify a project or identify something that has to be done, and there's sort of a magic... I was trying to navigate home. Yeah, these are sort of long-term projects, and there is this... you're sort of aware sort of of the factors that were a tailwind have become into a headwind of just trying to get basic things done. So, as you know, I'm doing podcasts in a framework of rehabilitation to get sort of sharp knowledge, to get speaking up, presentation up, also the technology to get lessons constructed using computer power and that sort of thing. So this thing is use the podcast, and then podcasting a multiple choice set of questions in such a way that they are automatically taken up and produced as teaching resources. Now this is a long way off, but that's the general thing. And in the process, I've identified areas that we need to improve on. This is the teaching of quantum mechanics, and some very easy ways to go ahead. And it is instructive, like, I suppose you're measuring the resistance of a... Well, this is resistance. I actually, like an ohmmeter, measuring resistance between various points and identifying the sort of the social circuit. Okay, Grayson Highway, walk back. Surely this goes, not M7, motivator. Okay, this is, surely this goes to the M4. Sorry, I'm on a road back from a soccer competition park, and it's the Blacktown International Sports Centre, sort of built up during the Olympics. Some internal green land which has been leveraged by people campaigning. So if there's any piece of green land in central Sydney, there's always people wanting to put factories there, housing estates there, sporting centres. And what happens is the government says, okay, we'll just put a small sporting centre here, and then it just grows and grows, and then they say, oh, well, let's put housing estates here, and... It's just a sort of thin edge to the wedge, and so we've got this internal green space in Sydney, in the Blacktown area. It's a fairly large green space, and it's so you often drive from Western Sydney back into this, in towards the city. So we're not quite towards Parramatta. Oh, it's hard to quite describe where it is. But so there's these large sporting facilities, and the schools go and have competitions there, and it's a bit of a nightmare, well, for me, getting in and out, trying to work out where things are. So at this point in time, I've realised I've got four or three podcasts while driving. I've got this trip home, a trip back and forth from rehab. Now, the important thing is that there's a slight difference between a business researcher, where you're actually researching for to set up a business, or you're researching for a course, you're investigating something. when you're actually, I suppose, trained as a researcher, there is a little bit of disinterest, sort of professional disinterest in results you get back. So one of the key results I've got back is, oh, something here, so amber light. Sorry for all this. Yeah, one of the keys is a lack of interest manifesting at the very first point of a conceptual development. So in this case, I'm looking at quantum mechanics, the fact that students are not taught anywhere near what's necessary to understand quantum mechanics, and the fact that there is this beautiful experiment called the Thompson effect, and all it is a strip of copper. You run a current through it, and you heat it up in the center. When you heat it up in the center, obviously it becomes more resistance. That's something to see. That's something fairly obvious. But this phenomena happens is that measuring from the center, you measure from the center very precisely, the temperature drops, and you would expect an exponential decay. Say if you were able to heat up the center to 500 degrees, so red hot, and see it go down the copper strip. So the copper strip can't be a big heavy copper bar because there's actually no temperature differential across it. So besides the copper strip, so you want a relatively small cross section, and so you get a temperature differential across it, and you want to measure the temperature there with a current flowing through it. Now, what actually happens is that the temperature upstream decreases, and the temperature, so it's the temperature downstream of the current, so the current's going from, say, left to right, and it's in the center, the left-hand thing will have a slightly lower temperature than the right-hand side. Now, this is a heat pump, or heat pump effect, or it's not necessarily a heat pump effect, it's a electrical effect, and it's to do with the Fermi levels, and it's these things that allow you to start to say, oh, well, that's how it works. And then you look at, I'm measuring it with the thermocouple. That's how that thermocouple works. It's this sort of system where you gradually open up up ideas. So I've just got to pay a little bit of attention here because I've got to turn on to the M4 to get home. So that's the overall principle. It's fairly simple in terms of there's no really special equipment that you involve here. It requires a Bunsen burner. A school should have a Bunsen burner. A strip of copper. A school should have a strip of copper. Current sources. Now, for current sources, I think you probably need a little bit better than the average school fare. And this is just a fairly good regulated current source. Because the main thing is that as it heats up, the resistance changes. So you want something which has got a fairly stable, digitally controlled current source. It's not all that bad. I've got one of those. And you want to set it up and set up it such that students can measure it. Now, of course, you can suggest this, but you really want to do some preliminary work on it to check that this is a good direction to go. So that's what I want to do. And it sort of strikes me that it's methodically building up and up and up. So, say with the podcasting, I've methodically built up the technique, and the software, the production, and it's an ongoing process. I'm hopefully going to find out how to market and spread the podcasts a bit more. Just slowly build up. As you go, you see all things don't happen. You suddenly have a large audience, or you have a large audience at one time and then disappears. Things change as you go through. And it's here that I've written to an old university friend. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was a car merging to my left sort of aggressively. Okay, so it's just settled down here. So we're here through the traffic section. I'm getting out of there. And so we're working on this. So I'm just working away. Now, the interesting thing is that the professor, I haven't said what it is, can't have a contact. a first year experiment demonstrator, and I read his history. He's an associate professor. He's running the first year laboratories, just working out how this is going through now. And he hasn't got anything back, which gives me the general idea is that as you go forward, you generate these inquiries. They're sort of like probes. Well, it's a temperature probe. This is checking the temperature, basically probing the activity of the education circuit. It's very much an in-house, highly stressful circuit. Why I say oh now is that there's supposed to be a large dust storm hitting Sydney. So every 15, 20 years there is a pretty massive dust storm in Australia. 82, there was a massive, massive dust storm. I think there's still pictures of it, and it went actually fairly pitch black of this huge dust storm hit Melbourne. This huge, and then about 15 years ago, a huge dust storm hit Sydney, and the you couldn't see outside, and there's really pretty much an amazing, it's not half a millimetre, but in that regime of dust has settled on absolutely everything, sort of like snow. And this is white, it's very red. You know the colour of air's rock and settles here. And what's happening here is that this dust storm is beginning to pick up at the moment. You can sort of smell the smoke and people are out. Not the smoke, the dust. Dust is going through, and it's this like red tinge. So we knew that it was coming in, but it's just coming in here. Okay, getting back to this, it's as a researcher, you don't. It's not something you take personal, emotional response to. The people are just not picking us up, and. This is really tree down, hazard tree down, Great Western Highway. Glenbrook! Oh, there's a tree down, okay. Well, we'll have to see what's going on. So this is a sign, there's these illumination signs, warning signs, which give you information as you're driving. Not texting, but they're big sort of like text screens above the road. And it's just telling me, up at my house, at my area, you can't see the Blue Mountains at the moment because it's all covered in dust. So you've got visibility, it's about a kilometre at the moment. Normally, you can see a good old 30 kilometres clear out to the horizon. No pollution, there's no industry. They've shut down the furnaces, the iron making, and there is still some iron making, it's all high-tech iron making. There's virtually no pollution. All the cars have catalytic converters on. Everything's sort of monitored. I suppose there's still surely amount of pollution here, so everything's normally very good visibility here. Getting back to the point, is the bottom line is that we have to acknowledge that this is not a normal thing. It's you're coming in through the freak door. When you say, look, I've been researching, I want to do this thing, that is, majority of people who are insane do exactly the same thing. So it's, you just have to accept that it's going to be very difficult for people to differentiate you from a freak. But then again, I think the other difference from freak is that they want to do very large projects. What I actually want to do is just a very simple project, that is to set something up like this, demonstrate it, film it, and move on. that has created YouTube on how to actually produce one of these Thompson effect things, and just research the best way of doing it. It just does strike me. It's the thing for a digital thermocouple, so remove some error aspects to it, and basically, yeah, how do you do it? What I do think is that you want to set this up and run it such that there's a minimum movement, is that you sit up there, okay, we'll slow down, let's go, I was just on the speed limit up. Let's have a look. Okay, what's happened is there's a big traffic jam on our right. Oh, it's disappeared now. The big traffic jam going in, and of course the police move off the traffic jam and onto the other road to actually pick things up. And often what happens is the majority of time, if you're just speeding, the police don't slow you down. They just, I suppose it's almost computerized. It reads your number plate and you get an infringement notice in the post. None of this pursuit stuff coming on. Okay, getting back on. It's knowing this here is this sort of two movements. Sort of, if you can mathematically model your progress forward, it's been blocked at various points in time. There's blocks due to culture. There's also blocks due to lack of understanding. Blocks due to, you know, where you're culturally coming from. And so this means several things, and I've sort of stumbled across it here. That is augmentation of your work with, say, like a podcast and computerized technology. I think that deals with it. I'm almost home. Bloody hell, that's bloody well good. So it took me easily 40 minutes to drive in. Now it's taking me about, feels like 17 minutes. I can read it off my dictaphone here. Okay, we'll see what's happened to you. So it's a really, really, I must admit, really rather sad in that a tree will fall down and it'll be the weakest tree. And then what people will do is they'll come in and also we'll remove all trees like this. And of course, it's just this. Statistically, the weakest tree, and so there was a fairly big tree in New Plains. All right, it did kill someone. It did actually. This is a large tree, so this would be 3 meter diameter. Yeah, fairly tall. These are very tall gum trees, and I don't. It's just such a complicated world, and Australia has ripped out so many trees. So if trees fell down, then they ripped out all the other trees. Now, that being said, the arborist, when they came through, said, look, these other trees were never going to fall down, but insurance processes come in that you get no due. Now, I've just about, what is it, 5 kilometres from the start of the Blue Mountains, and you can just see the first foothills, just the most the faintest suggestion of a slightly darker hue in the dust, and you can see little bits of things which are high reflectance. Like there's a little hotel up, which is the Air Force High Command up there on the hill. Okay, coming in slow, so we'll get in. Enjoy it. So what this actually means is that it's, yeah, being aware that there is this resistance, not understanding of who you are, what you want to do, and how you want to do it. So there's no point putting an ambit claim in if what you really want to do is take these small little steps. And the idea of taking small little steps on a huge frontage It may not work, but it is so huge frontage looking at all this and how you manage small little steps on a huge front is here. So a small little step, I would like to demonstrate and photograph this particular technique of going forward. Why? It's got to integrate. Because you've got this problem, so you've got to take these small little steps and they have to integrate. So it's rather than thinking, what I am thinking is that the big step things are too complicated. You want to take two really small little steps over a broad frontage of things, manage it, de-stress it, i.e. the great advantage of having a large frontage of small steps is that it's it means that if it blocks, you can come back to it. There's things that you can always come back to it, but to sort of explain that overall approach and get that is turn that strategy to an advantage by saying, what I want to do is this particular technique and keep it really tight, small, controlled, and so people don't see bigger step. I think this is the entire thing, is that if you say, look, Australia's stuffed because we are teaching our kids things which are 100 years out of date and incorrect and irrelevant, that's enough to say, whoa, I don't want anything to do with it. That means me moving politically. Whereas what you really want to do is actually say, look, I want to just establish research of this technique. I believe that this is written up here. It's the foundation of modern physics, and it looks as though it should be able to be shown to schools. I just want to see the practicality of that. And that's a much more small, contained thing. And that small, the advantage of a small, contained thing is that you can put that out on various multiple points to go across. And I think this is break up the projects into very small advanced projects and see how that goes ahead. So I think there's a little bit of work to do here, and that is packaging it up. And this is essentially a lot of the times that I found that when you're measuring something, say you're putting in a laboratory, measuring laser strengths and stuff like that, some of the times it could be the actual phenomena you're measuring is not correct, or it's not, there's all these things. It would also be the way that you're using the probes and the calibration of the probes. So this is sort of like hopefully a recalibration, and I'm going to try and just slowly advance one tiny little step at a time and ask a very, very simple question, but put it out to multiple sources to try and get it out there. And I think that might melt through, because 100%, the fundamental is that the actual quality of the work is there. The actual quality of understanding is there. These are common mechanical effects. These are effects which are well established scientifically, foundation scientific effects. One wants to so that they should be strong, but you yourself don't say, well, I'm standing for that strong stuff. You're saying they should, you stand one step back and saying, I believe this is true. Let's have a look at it. You know, what does it say? I'm really curiosity. Is this one of the things that I'm picking up from reading Einstein and a few other things, is that they don't muddy the reality with themselves. They stand back and paint a picture of themselves observing, and you can share with them, with the observer, the interests. And of course, if things don't turn out, there's no loss. So you just want to actually look at what's going on. Okay, look, thanks a lot for listening. I'll go off and...
Transmission there, basically, as there's a big tree on the road. And some police out there. So you got through. Not too much. And I'm back home. So I'll post this. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.